In today's Bible reading, we find the disciples exactly where they are, trying to make sense of the news of He is risen. We meet Thomas and hear his reaction. Somebody once told me that if Jesus repeats something more than one time, take note, it's got to be important. Hear these words and breathe them in and hear what Jesus wants us to hear today. Reading from John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put them into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, friends, our theme today is Open Door. Would you please pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are present with us. And come, bring your life and breathe your spirit into us, Lord, that we may believe and that we may live and do life with you and for you. Amen. Well, dear friends, when I was a young boy back in the 60s, yeah, really, I know I'm young, it's okay. I think the only time we ever locked the doors of our house was when we left the property. That's how it was in those days. And I think in my teenage years, we started locking it a bit more often. I think most of us lock our doors at night now, don't we? And probably during the day as well. That's just the way things are. But we like to get out of the house to go to school or to work, socialising, shopping, sporting activities, or just doing the things we enjoy. It's good to get out and do things, particularly with other people, unless, of course, you've got this condition called agoraphobia. Who knows what agoraphobia is? What is it? Well, fear of not just open spaces, but crowded places. Agora is the marketplace. The fear of those places where there are people around and something might happen and I won't feel safe. So people with this condition will actually remain behind doors, sometimes locked for months or even years, too scared to go out of the house. In our reading today, the disciples are locked behind closed doors, not because they have agoraphobia, but for fear of the Jews. You see, for them, it was risky to be associated with Jesus. Just a couple of days earlier, he'd been arrested as a criminal and executed without any charges. And here they are, paralyzed with fear, surmising that the Jewish leaders are on the lookout for them. And who knows where that might lead? Maybe even to a cross. Furthermore, their grief is raw. They've just lost their dearest friend, their teacher, their master. After the amazing adventure of doing life with Jesus, they're probably thinking to themselves, well, now he's gone, what are we supposed to do? After that, what's next? What will become of us? And perhaps their grief is also compounded by their guilt. In Jesus' darkest hour, when he needed a friend the most, they'd all abandoned him. And imagine the if onlys. If only we'd stood up for him. If only we'd protected him. If only we rallied together, maybe Jesus would still be with us. In spite of Mary Magdalene approaching him early that morning with news that she'd encountered Jesus, that evening they are stuck in isolation, stewing in despair. Metaphorically, they've had the wind completely knocked out of their sails. My application is here on this section is, friends, I wonder what fears or past hurts or disappointments or failures have sucked the joy out of your life and kept you in a prison of despair. I don't believe that's what Jesus wants for you. And here's why. Suddenly, like a practical joker, Jesus drops into the room out of nowhere. Hey guys, peace be with you. I can imagine a big grin on his face. If you read through the resurrection appearances, every one of them has a note of not just joy about it, but surprise. Like Jesus is playing games of surprise on his disciples. And what do you think their reaction was? If you were in their sandals, what would be your first reaction, do you think? Fear, surprise, dumbfounded. Could it be true? Is it really him, or is it just a ghost or a figure of imagination? How on earth did he get in the room when we locked the doors? Friends, just as the tomb could not keep Jesus in, the locked doors could not keep Jesus out. And while they're all sort of shaking their heads and checking their eyesight, Jesus shows them, hey, fellas, look. It's me. Look, it's me. And it says, the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Yeah, the Jesus body, it can do some amazing things. But you've got to remember, it's not the same sort of body we have. He's on the other side of eternity. So he has a glorified, resurrected body that has some amazing properties, one that's fit for eternity, and one like we will have one day. Oh, think about that. As his resurrection body passed through the grave clothes, he could also bypass the locked doors. And I love how Jesus actually comes to them in their brokenness. Yeah, there's no rebukes, no grudges, no hard feelings. No, oh, I told you so. No, love and acceptance. Love and acceptance, and he shares peace. Peace be with you. And with that, he fills their sails with joy. Friends, Jesus is always with his people. And so when your world has fallen apart or you're struggling to make sense of life, remember, Jesus is always with you. He can do that. He can do that. He's not stuck up in heaven. He's always with you. And he wants to transform your turmoil into peace and your sorrow into joy. After all, this is what he promises in John 14. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid, because I'm with you. And then in John 10, you know, the thief comes to rob and kill and destroy. That's about fear. But Jesus says, I've come that you may have life, and how much? Life to the full, a fullness of life, a wholeness of life, joy in life. My application point here, what door might Jesus want to open for you to have the fullness of life he wants for you? Is there a door that's closed? Maybe he wants to open it. And since nothing in all creation can separate you from his love, tell him your troubles, remember his promises, and ask for his help, and wait and see what happens. You see, when Jesus drops in and his disciples, he renews their hope and opens a door for their future. He says, you guys aren't washed up because I've got stuff for you to do. And then he commissions them. In their brokenness, he commissions them and says, hey guys, you're not washed up. Listen to this. Peace I give you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Friends, can you think of a place in the Bible where God breathes into people? Yeah. The Garden of Eden makes this clay, but there's no life in it until God, breath. Life. My father-in-law once said to me, since God has blown his breath into us, we are beings who are made for life forever. I think he's right. In Ezekiel chapter 37, there's that valley of dry bones. You remember that story? And God says, prophesy that flesh, and these bones all come together and flesh appears on them and tendons and skin. And then God says, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. The Holy Spirit creates new life, which is possible for all creation now that Jesus has conquered death and opened the door to an eternity of life. That's the new reality. That's the kingdom of God here on planet Earth. Jesus bestows his Holy Spirit on his followers so they can continue his ministry into his world. And you remember what happened when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost? Those once fearful disciples become bold witnesses for Jesus, and they never lose it. In spite of being threatened, persecuted, thrown in prison, or threatened with death, the joy of Jesus risen and life with him vanquished their fears. Wherever the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection is shared, forgiveness is his gift. His gift that brings people into a right relationship with God. See, the Holy Spirit is at work through the gospel, creating faith and new life in once dead hearts, joining them to Jesus and giving them a hope and a future in God's good story for his world. Friends, if we are going to continue in this ministry of Jesus, I submit to you that we need to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Would you agree with that? Because we don't have the power in ourselves to do it. We don't have the courage in ourselves to do it. So the question then is, well, how do we keep being filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you got some ideas about that? Okay, we can pray for it. Asking him. Jesus says, Luke 11, if you fathers know how to give good gifts to your kids, and you're a bunch of rat bags, by the way, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So ask, pray for it. You can pray for it for yourself and you can pray for it for others. You know, you can ask someone, look, I'm really struggling at the moment. Would you just lay your hand on me and pray for the Holy Spirit to fill me in Jesus' name? And I'll tell you what, once I was just about washed out of ministry and a mate of mine prayed for me and I had enough going on just that one prayer for about 3 months. All right, because God will always respond to it. I think immersing ourselves in the Word of God is how the Spirit reminds us of that we're part of God's story and the promises. And doing life together with Jesus. Whenever we worship, gather, talk about the things, encourage each other, fellowship, encouragement, care. Jesus is blowing fresh wind into our sails. Yes? All right. Yes? Amen? Right. Now, for some reason, old Tommy boy wasn't there. Oh, isn't there a lesson there? He missed out. Likewise, when we are absent from the body of Christ, when we isolate from other followers of Jesus, we often miss out on fresh encounters with Jesus, because Jesus is always with his people. And I submit to you that Jesus' blessing often comes to us through his people, yeah? Yeah? All right, so that's why we've got to keep coming together. Now, of course, Thomas found it hard to swallow what the other guys were saying. How could he? He didn't experience it for himself. And I love how he is bare bones honest about his doubts. Oh, well, unless I can put my finger in the wound, or put my hand in the wound, I'm not going to believe. Guess who heard him? Jesus heard him. Because the following Sunday, they're again inside locked doors. Jesus pops in again, peace be with you. And then he turns to Tommy. Hey, Tommy, here. You put your finger in here. Hey, Tommy. See this here. Hey, Tommy, now I've addressed all your issues. Believe in me. And what was Thomas's response? My Lord and my God. He's one of the eyewitnesses of the risen Jesus who believes. And then Jesus says to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus is talking about you and me. And everybody has believed in Jesus since he ascended to heaven. Friends, if Jesus can open his way into a locked room, then he can open the door of a closed heart. He's done it to my heart. What about your heart? If you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, who has taken away your sins and given you life forever, and if you confess Jesus is your Lord and Jesus is your God, then God has blessed you already. The Holy Spirit has created faith in your heart to trust in the eyewitness testimony of Jesus' disciples and brought you into God's family forever. You're part of it forever. You're part of God's story. You're part of God's future. You're part of his eternity. And now by this gift and power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus wants his followers, you and me, to share his peace and his forgiveness and to be agents of his peace and his forgiveness. So we better be forgiven and we better be trying to be peacemakers. Because if we're not doing it and we start talking about the Jesus who is it, then why on earth would they believe us? As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. This is Jesus' words to you and me. And I wonder, friends, whose heart might Jesus be knocking on through your influence and mine? Let's take a minute or so to think and pray about that, and then the band will lead us in our next song.